This week's mailbag comes to us from Elizabeth. Dear Lisa and the Organized 365 team, thank you. I, like everyone, have had an incredibly difficult year. I was part of your study group last spring. Since starting, I have had multiple job transitions and a temporary move across the country for a job. The organization your system provided during this time has kept me on track to set goals and keep moving forward even with an uncertain future. This week I realized I did it. I finally organized all of my household papers and my husband is on board with your system as well. I sat down for the first time in my adult life and knew all of my papers were organized and I had no urgent tasks. I didn't even know that was possible. I am trying to describe the feeling I had when I realized I was finished. It was like I had been living my adult life with a nagging feeling like there was something I was forgetting. Suddenly, I knew where everything was. The moment when I realized everything was caught up and or part of a plan, I started crying. I felt so revealed and grateful. Every actionable step that has crossed my path since that moment has flowed. I feel like I have been healed from an underlying anxiety that I didn't even know existed. I can't stop talking to all my friends about your program and how impactful it has been. My husband is downstairs organizing his hot mess room on his own. So many miracles are happening because of your system.
Do you have an Organized 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organized365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organized 365.
Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Happy New Year. Happy 2021. Yes, we did it. We made it through the year that is 2020. And when I look back on 2020, of course, there's the pandemic and there are all the things that happened that were unexpected, not desirable, and terrible. But there were also great things that happened in 2020. Three of my cousins had babies in 2020. Like, we moved warehouses in 2020. Organized 365 added four more full-time employees in 2020, and on and on and on. And when I reflect back on 2020 and I look ahead to 2021, I'm reminded that the older I get, the more I realize there are not that many high highs in life and low lows. It is more riding this roller coaster of ups and downs and ups and downs. We never stay up really high for a long period of time, and we never stay down really low for a long period of time. So while there are some people that 2020 was the best year of their life, and there are probably more than a handful of people where 2020 was the absolute worst year in their life, for most of us, 2020 was definitely unusual, unexpected, and unprecedented. But in the grand scheme of things, over the lot of our entire life, it's another year that will be remembered, but not be the best of the best or the worst of the worst. And I say that because January 1st, 2021 probably isn't that much different than December 31st of 2020 for you. Like, there aren't any ordinances that changed inside of the state of Ohio when the clock struck midnight. Like, we're still in the middle of a pandemic. We still don't have a vaccine that has enough people vaccinated that we have herd immunity. And so we have a little bit more time to go in this pandemic. We don't know how long that is. It could be 4 months, it could be 8 months, it could be a year, it could be 4 years. We have absolutely no idea. It's unprecedented, you know. But when I think back about 2020, personally, I got a lot done. I accomplished a lot of business goals. We pivoted well to different family members being home at different periods of time, being under different quarantines at home. We did a lot of pivoting. We did a lot of adjusting, and we came out okay. When I look at 2021 and the first quarter of 2021, it's hard to plan, isn't it? It's hard to set goals. It's hard to have a New Year's resolution that you can sink your teeth into. And what I want to offer you is, upon reflecting about this from Thanksgiving through just before Christmas, I have determined why this is so difficult for me and what I have done to change it so that you can do it too, so that while quarter one 2020 is not going to be amazing, phenomenal, like the best quarter of our entire lives, it also does not have to be the dark winter that the media keeps saying that it's going to be. Once we're in our homes and we are safe at home, we really are pretty much 99.9% in control of what happens inside of our house, our mindset, and our planning for that. And I realized that during the pandemic, I still was a positive person. I still was level-headed. I was able to see both sides of the political discussions. Like, that part of my personality did not change, but my habits changed drastically. And as the pandemic happened and we started to stay home in quarter two of 2020, I worked like crazy. Like, I worked more than I've worked in a long time. And then we had quarter three where we were able to get out and we had the summer and I didn't work as much, but inside of Organized 365, we had a lot of fires to put out and a lot of unplanned work that we needed to fix after we did the move and we were changing over to the new Sunday basket and all of those kinds of things. It wasn't until quarter four that I got back to the rhythm I was in quarter one of 2020, where I was working during the workday and not working at night and not working on the weekends. And once I got back into that rhythm of only working about, 40 hours a week on work, I filled my extra time with habits that were not serving me, that were not benefiting the long-term future that I had for myself. And in the next three podcasts, I'm going to dive into those habits that crept into my life in quarter three and quarter four in 2020, and they embedded themselves into my morning routine, my afternoon routine, and my evening routine. And every single one of those new little habits that just showed up out of nowhere and then never left cost me anywhere from 45 minutes to 90 minutes every single day in those three blocks of time. My morning routine, my afternoon routine, and my evening routine. Which, yes, that meant that every single day I had 2 hours and 15 minutes to 4.5 hours of my day with these new habits I did not have in the beginning of January 2021, and they were sucking out time out of my day. Now, I'm not raising kids at home anymore. We're not going anywhere, obviously. It's a pandemic. So we're home. It's not like I lost any money or I lost any relationships because of these new habits I had. But in order to change your life, you have to change your habits, and your habits tend to get attached to your morning, afternoon, and evening routines. So I'll be talking about those the next 3 weeks on the podcast. So tune into that. These podcasts are going to be a little bit shorter. I want you to listen to them, try to implement them, and then listen to them again. Because what I'm going to share with you here in January can be the difference between an amazing 2021 and a 2021 that just followed the same pattern as 2020, that followed the same pattern as 2019, that followed the same pattern as 2018. The habits that you have and how you proactively plan your downtime and the time that is not sleeping or work or cleaning time is where you get that extra goal setting and the extra achievement in your life. So as I was thinking about these morning, afternoon, and evening routines that I needed to change, what I realized was, as soon as I free up this little bit over 2 hours to 4.5 hours a day by eliminating these bad habits that I started in 2020, I need to know what I'm going to fill that time with. Because if you don't have a proactive plan to fill that time, you'll either revert back to the old habit or you'll just feel really off and then you won't stick with it and you'll revert back to the old habit. And in the past, what I would do with free found time was work. Because for like my entire 22 years of being an adult, all I wanted to do was find more work time so I could actually do what I was uniquely created to do. I'm past that phase of my life now. My kids are adults, so I don't need to find extra work time in the evenings, in the weekends, in between bus schedules and homeschooling and all of those other things that I did because I am in middle age. So my non-work and non-sleep time is really hobby-related and relationship-oriented. And I had reduced myself the last, all during the pandemic to Netflix and social media and puzzles. It's pretty much how I filled all of my free time. And when I looked at my pink slash pockets in the Sunday basket the other day, I realized I never changed my pink slash pockets in the Sunday basket because I didn't want the pandemic to take away the things that I wanted to do for myself. And I was going to get back to those as soon as the pandemic lifted. So I didn't want to get rid of those slash pockets. So my pink slash pockets are Lisa. That one is going to stay. That one just has like any books I want to read, documentaries, biographies of people I'm interested in looking into, self-improvement ideas, any like makeup or clothing or any of that kind of ideas that I have. All of that is in the Lisa slash pocket. The Lisa slash pocket is going to stay. But I only had three other pink slash pockets, and those pink slash pockets were Italy, which is the trip we were supposed to take in March, which obviously got canceled, travel, which was all the additional travel I wanted to do with Greg, and dates. And inside of my dates slash pocket, I had put all of the steakhouses in Cincinnati, and I had planned on Greg and I going on a lot of dates and going to a different steakhouse, you know, like once a month until we got through all the steakhouses in Cincinnati. Well, now that we are 10 months into a stay-at-home order and the pandemic is nowhere near ending, I'm looking at the next 120 days, which is how long a 100-day home organization cycle is. We organize our home for 100 days, and then there's usually anywhere from 14 to 25 days of buffer between one 100-day cycle and the next one, and our planners go for only 4 months, so January, February, March, and April. Well, I could say with pretty much certainty that I'm not going to be going to Italy in the next 4 months or any other travel. And Greg and I are probably not going out to a steakhouse, which is unfortunate. I really feel for the travel and the hospitality and the restaurant industry. Like, it's just been a really, really hard season. I think that season is going to end about May, but it's not going to end in quarter one or in the next 120 days, which is what I plan. I plan for the next 4 months. And I realized the fact that I was resistant to changing the pink slash pockets that I have in the Sunday basket, I really limited myself to the only thing that I enjoyed doing in addition to these ideas of dating and traveling and getting out and doing, which was puzzles. Like, I'm so weird, you guys. I was so jealous when my grandmother moved into a retirement center because they have puzzles out all the time. And like literally she could read and do puzzles all day. Like that's what my grandmother did. I was so jealous of her retired lifestyle. So to be honest, to be able to have more time to do puzzles during the pandemic was not a downfall. I enjoyed it. I don't even know how many puzzles I've done. A lot, like 20? I don't know, a lot of puzzles, a lot of puzzles. And I don't plan on stopping doing puzzles. The problem is, I would be done with my work day, and then after I got onion rings, I would come home and draw my bath between 5 and 5:30, and I would be doing my puzzle on my bed at 5:30 on a weekday. And on the weekends, sometimes I started at 2. And once I sit on my bed and I start my puzzle, I really don't do anything else until I go to bed at 10 or 11 o'clock at night. That is a ridiculous amount of puzzle time. So before I change my morning, afternoon, and evening routines, I need to know, great, what are the new pink slash pockets that I am going to look forward to or time block into my schedule? Now, I want to be really clear. Your slash pockets inside of the Sunday basket, the basic ones, the 1.0, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, you do those every single week. The 2.0 slash pockets are completely optional and they organize your projects. And they're 5 pink, 5 purple, 5 blue, and 5 green. And those 5 of each slash pocket have different designations. So the 5 pink are all related to yourself, your personal development, whatever your personal goals and projects are. The 5 purple are related to your household. The 5 blue are related to your family. And the 5 green are your finances, your budgeting, and things like that. You can have less slash pockets. You can order more slash pockets. It doesn't matter. But this organizes those ongoing projects that you don't know where else to put those. So what I realized was I need new pink slash pockets, but I really don't want to get rid of these old ones because these are my true goals and desires for my life, is to be traveling and dating my husband. This is what I want this next decade of my life to fill. So what I'm doing is not changing the pink slash pockets. I am saving these pink slash pockets. I am setting these aside for 120 days, and I'm pulling out some new Pink Slash Pockets that are new projects and possibilities that I can do in the next 120 days. They are not goals. I'm going to tell you what these Pink Slash Pockets are. I do not have the goal of doing and accomplishing all of these projects in the next 120 days. These are just the options available to me. So every Sunday or every day after work, when I'm like, what am I going to do for the next 6 hours? I could go to my Sunday basket, I can look at my Pink Slash Pockets, and I could pull out any of these and do what they have inside of them. So my new Pink Slash Pockets are going to be, I'm going to keep the Lisa Slash Pocket that has the books and the biographies and everything that I want to read. The second new Slash Pocket that I have is called hashtag adulting. So yes, I've been an adult for almost 49 years. I know how to be an adult. I've already hashtag adulted myself. But Joey's about to be 21 and Abby is 19 and they are hashtag adulting. That is for sure. In the last 2 years, they have transitioned from pediatrician doctors to regular adult doctors. They've transitioned from their pediatrician dentist to a regular dentist. They have both gotten cars. They've both started to set up their adult life. And so I want to create the launch binders for both of them and then give all of the records I have for their cars, for their medical history, anything else that's inside of that launch binder over to them so that when they eventually move out and get their own apartment, which I think will be somewhere between 6 months to 18 months from now, they have all that documentation, moving it from my control into their control. So the launch binder is part of our kids program. You could buy it independent of the kids program if you want, but it's basically the essentials that you need from the adult binders. So the adult binders are a medical binder, financial binder, household operations, and household reference binder. The launch binder has a medical component, a financial component, and then a household reference component, which is for renting instead of purchasing your house. So setting up those launch binders will really set them up for success, empower them, and move them along in my launching them into independence. The other thing about setting up the launch binders for them is that it gives them control, it gives them ownership, and it makes sure that I go through all of my records and update them. It's been about 2 years since I originally created my binders. I have updated them periodically along the way. But now is a good time to go through each of my binders, which is my second Slash Pocket, are Greg's and my binders. Right before we were getting ready to go to Italy, we went and we redid our will and we redid all of those documents that we had done about 10 years ago. We established a trust. Also in 2020, Organize 365 created a 401k program. I, being an employee, have a 401k now. I didn't have a 401k. So we have updated that information in the financial binder, but I just want to make sure everything is really set there. Joey totaled a car and then he bought a new car. You know, just make sure all that stuff is cleaned out of the binders and the way we want to have them. I have mentioned many times that I spent the summer season, as my kids were younger, teaching them lifetime skills. And that in the summer, when I gave them those lifetime skills and taught them those lifetime skills, I was able to do that because they didn't have the extra stress and pressure of the school year. Well, right now, during the pandemic, in the next 120 days, we're all living together. Like Joey lives here, Abby lives here, we all live here. We all go to work and we all come back here and all of our free time is here together. So we have a lot of together time here. There are a lot of pockets of time where I can just, you know, grab a binder and say, hey, let's record all of your car information. Do you have jumper cables in your car? Do you have a snow brush? You know, what are the important things that you have in your car when you change them over? Like, this is an opportune time for Greg and I to pass on this knowledge that we have in a non-structured way to our kids who are adulting, who a year and a half from now will not want to come over and have a binder meeting, if you know what I mean. So this is a unique opportunity for me to go through all of our binders and really move out anything kid related into the adulting binders and update mine in the meantime. All right, the third Pink Slash Pocket is, I don't know how to title it yet, but it's basically tech, checklists, and anything and budget. It's kind of like systemization. I'm going to call it systemization. So systemization is this continuing improvement of your life. I'm reading some books about lean methodology. This idea that there are things that bug you or aren't working right and you just kind of let them go. I want to figure out what those things are and I want to solve them. Here are some examples. I got an Apple Watch a year and a half ago on Mother's Day and I use it as a watch and a pedometer. There are so many more things that this Apple Watch could be doing for me. Also, remember, Joey's living at home right now. He could show me all the extra things the Apple Watch is supposed to do for me. I want to see what it can do, if I like it, and set it up correctly. Also, we are not getting rid of cable, but we're getting rid of cable boxes and we're moving to Apple TV or things like that. That's another thing that just needs to be systematized and updated in our house. Another one is checklists. Like, I have a monthly checklist for our house, but a lot of things have changed. Like, we now don't have a bag in our vacuum, so we don't have to change that. Or there are different things that I used to do, like our new washing machine doesn't have to be washed every month. Things that I've done in the past that are weekly, monthly, quarterly, or yearly that I don't have to do anymore because we've changed our appliances or we've changed our routine or we don't do that thing at all. And I want to go through those kind of checklists. And as far as our budget, this is really weird, you guys. Okay, so we were all stuck at home, right? Nobody could get their hair done. And I have always wondered, how often do you need to get your hair done? I color my hair, like I highlight my hair, but I don't have a lot of grays. I now know because of the pandemic, I actually do have grays. I just don't have very many of them. And so I need to highlight my hair. I could highlight my hair like every 6 weeks. It tends to be too much. 12 weeks tends to be too long. Now, I get acrylic nails. I have pink and white nails, and they grow out every 2 weeks. And this is exactly how they grow out because I have tested it. So first, they grow out in length on the bottom, and they feel like they're too long. And then a couple days later, they grow out on top at the base, and then you can see that they need to be filled in. They grow out in length on Friday, and they grow out on the top on Monday. And so I usually get my nails done on Monday or Tuesday. I know, so odd, but it's every 2 weeks. And so now I know every 2 weeks I get my nails done. That's just how it is. It's something that I treated myself to a couple of years ago and I love it and I get it done. My hair, however, I'm not really, whatever. It's a huge expense and it's a huge amount of time. And every time I'm like, I cannot believe I spend this much money on hair and this much time on hair. So I've been playing around this year on how long can I let my hair grow out. 12 weeks is too long. 6 weeks is too short. So here's how I'm figuring this out. I cut my own bangs. I never have had my hairdresser cut my bangs because as soon as they get into my eyes, I cut them. Like I cannot even wait like a day. I always cut them. That's why I'll never grow my bangs out. But I noticed I missed my 6 week hair appointment with my stylist because we had to self-quarantine because we had an exposure. No one got COVID, but we had an exposure. We had to self-quarantine. I had to miss my hair appointment. 2.5 weeks later, I noticed my roots. I did not notice my roots at the six-week mark, but I did notice it 2.5 weeks later. I wrote that date down in my bathroom. Now, I'm waiting to see when I notice that it's really bad, you know, like when your hair grows out even a little bit more. Like I have maybe, at the time of this recording, an inch of growth. But when you hear this recording, I will have had my hair done, so you won't be able to see. Ha ha. So I know when I'm getting my hair done. It's the last week in December. I don't think that's when my hair grows. I know this is so weird, you guys. I want to figure out how long it is in between my hair growth, and I know it's predictable, just like my nails. I don't know how long it is. Maybe it's 7 weeks, 8 weeks, 9 weeks, 10 weeks. Maybe it's 9.5 weeks. There is a date in there where my roots show. And I want to figure out where it is. Another example. During lockdown, we couldn't leave the house. Our house cleaner couldn't come. And for the first couple weeks, no big deal. First month really wasn't that bad. Then the house really started to look terrible. Although I cleaned it, like I cleaned it, but I didn't dust. And on week 7, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, there was dust everywhere. Like you could write your name anywhere in our house. But the day before that, I didn't notice it. So now I know dusting has to be done every 6 weeks, 6 or 7 weeks. It does not need to be done every 2 weeks. If you wait 2 months, it's too long. Dusting needs to happen every 6 to 7 weeks. How long is it for everything? Like, what is the amount of time for everything? And the thing that started this really is because my makeup and my face cost too much money. When I was 40, I wore blush, eyeshadow, mascara, and lipstick, and that was it. And now it takes me 15 minutes to put all this stuff on in the morning and another 15 minutes to take it all off and treat my face at night. And I have, during the pandemic, eliminated a lot of creams and potions and powders that I had gotten, used up everything that I had. So I'm down to exactly what I like for my face routine, which is a ridiculous price tag, if you ask me. So I started in November using a Sharpie marker. And whenever I opened a new piece of makeup or a skincare product or a lotion or a potion or whatever, I wrote the date on the bottom of the bottle. And then when I run out, I'm writing down, how long does it last? So like I use this Kate, I can't remember the name of it, but we'll put it in the show notes. I love this new cream that my friend Danielle got me sucked into. It's $95. It's like Wrinkle Warrior, Kate Somerville, Kate Summer something, Wrinkle Warrior. It's $95, you guys, it's so ridiculously expensive. I was like, but how long does it last? I use 3 little pumps at night. How long does it last? I am going to test and see, because if it lasts an entire year, then that is, you know, like $8 a month. Then that's not such a big deal. But if it lasts 3 months, that's $30 a month. That's ridiculous. So I have to figure out not only how much does it cost, but how long does it last? Also, this year and last year, I bought a lot of makeup supplies and beauty supplies during Black Friday. They have amazing sales on Black Friday for all of this kind of stuff. And this year, you know, Black Friday lasted like 6 weeks. So I stocked up on almost everything that is my favorite because I don't change my skincare or my beauty routine. And I got everything at 25% off or 30% off or whatever it was. And I stocked up. How long does that last? How long? This is, you guys, this is a slash pocket for me. How long does all this stuff cost so that I can figure out what is my true dollar amount for beauty, for hair, for nails, for makeup, for all of this stuff? I want to figure out what it is and then figure out what I need to eliminate it to get it down to a better budgeted amount. All right, my fourth slash pocket is looking at the art and framing in our house. So for me, almost everything that is framed in our house is photographs or landscape pictures or needlepoint that I've done. Like, it's a craft project or it's a photo. I just love that kind of stuff. And there are a couple of things that I have that I've been meaning to frame that I never did. Like, way back in college, my grandfather made blueprints for a daycare center that I was going to design, and I said I was going to frame those. I don't think I'm going to, but I want to look at it and decide if I want to or not, and if so, where I would put it. Also, a few years ago, I got this really cool genealogy tree that you can frame, and I have our genealogy done. I just need to get a calligrapher to write in all of the names and frame that. That would look super cool in our house. Like, I think that's a project that I want to get done. Also, all the frames that are on our bookshelves, I have gone to minimal frames on our bookshelves, and the pictures are like 10 or 12 years old. I would like to go through our pictures, find more updated pictures, get more picture frames, get more of an eclectic frame look going on our bookshelves. Greg really loves that. And I just want to see more family, even if we're just seeing them in frames on our bookshelves. So I really want to look at the frames that we have on our walls, the frames that we have on our bookshelves. And my last slash pocket is scrapbooking. It has been about 3 years since I really sat down and updated our physical scrapbooks. I have a lot of memorabilia. I have a lot of photos that I need to even get printed out and get shipped to me. And I think that the next 120 days is a great time to set up a table and do some scrapbooking every day or do it on Saturdays. I just have so much time available to me that this would be a great time to do this project. In addition to catching up our family scrapbooks, I also would like to create a business scrapbook. I have a bulging slash pocket of things that you guys have emailed me or mailed to me, thank you cards. I have a bulletin board in my office at work, but I still have so many other things that I don't want to get rid of. I want to put those in one of our leather memorabilia binders. I also want to make a COVID scrapbook because I'm a business owner. I got the updates from the state of Ohio as the pandemic was unfolding from the governor. And I want to just put those in chronological order in a notebook so that I have them to look back on as I look back at this time in history. I also want to go through just our business, like Organize 365 is nine today. Today is our ninth anniversary. And I'm finding that things I thought I would remember, I don't remember. And I'd like to go back and create more of a timeline of year one, year two, year three, year four, before we get so far that I really forget a lot of those details. So this is a bunch of different scrapbooking projects that I want to do, scrapbooking, memory making, binder making. And I'm starting to get really excited about where I can carve out the time to do all of these different projects. One of the things that I like to do with any of my projects, Pink Slosh Pockets or any of them, is to carve out the time to work on a project, but then allow me to pick whatever project I want based on the energy of that day or that time. So let me give you an example. You're listening to this on Friday, so this is a great weekend to do this. I'll be doing planning day tomorrow, Sunday on the 3rd. I'll probably carve out some time and I will not work on January 3rd. So on January 3rd, I have open to me the possibility of doing a puzzle, working on the adulting binders, working on our adult binders, you know, working on systemizing all of these different checklists and our budget inside of our family, working on the framing things, or getting started on my scrapbooking project. It doesn't matter which one I do. It just matters that I have options and I know the possibilities that I could fill my time with. Already, I could feel like this would be really fun. Like on January 3rd, I could see myself really diving into the scrapbooking project. I already have it in a Sunday basket and a portable Sunday basket. And I could see myself taking the weekend and just dividing all of that into all these different projects I just told you about. It'll probably end up being 10 different projects by the time I'm done. Taking those projects, putting them in different Sunday basket, figuring out the order in which I want to do them, going through all my photos, I need to order my photos, going through my scrapbooking supplies and seeing if there are any scrapbooking supplies I need to order based on the photos that I know that I just ordered. Like the whole first 2 weeks of January are just going to be collecting all this information and dividing it into projects. By the time we get to week three in January, I'll grab a project and probably complete it in a week. You guys, I've got a lot of extra time. I don't know what to tell you. I've done 20 puzzles. I can do a couple scrapbooks. So that's what I want you to think about today. What do you want your quarter one of 2021 to look like? What do you want your next 120 days in the 100-day program to look like? Maybe you already know that doing the Sunday basket or doing the 100-day program or starting your binders in All Access or doing the photo program, you're still working through the 100-day program goals. Those become pink slash pockets. You may have a whole bunch of pink slash pockets related to the things that you're doing with Organize 365. You may want to take a college course. I don't know what you want to do, but if you don't even think about what you want to do, I can guarantee it is not going to happen. If you just start to dream a little bit about the possibilities, the different ways you could possibly be spending your time, then when the time presents itself, you'll be excited about these possibilities and not let all of your time get sucked away like mine did in the second half of 2020 in the three areas I'm going to share in the next three podcasts. I hope you guys have a great week.